Well, you might see dances like the Dougie and the Nay Nay, not just at festivals, but mainly in YouTube videos that come from all over the world. Many of these moves, though, you may not know it, have their roots in hip-hop in the South. Writer Rodney Carmichael dug into the history of some of these dances and why Atlanta is the viral dance capital. He is senior staff writer at Creative Loafing and co-host of the 5 Points podcast. It's always a pleasure to have you with us, Rodney.
Yeah, always a pleasure to be here, Celeste. Thank you.
And also with us is Rennie Harris. He is professor of hip-hop dance at UCLA and the University of Colorado at Boulder. Welcome to the program, Rennie.
Hey, how's it going?
Do you actually commute between UCLA and Boulder, Colorado?
I'm there, UCLA in the spring, Boulder the fall.
Oh, okay, that's not as bad. I imagined you taking that flight all the time. Andy Tadick is here as well. He manages the Atlanta dance and rap group We Are Tunes, and they created the popular dance, the Nay Nay. Hi, Andy.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
In case you don't recognize the Nay Nay, we're playing a little bit of it right now. I don't know how you could have missed it. So let's, Andy, first address how you invented the dance for the Nay Nay.
Well, I didn't quite invent it. I was more so on the business side. My group, We Are Tunes, actually invented the dance.
How did that process go?
Well, their process was they were doing a lot of talent shows around Atlanta and different high schools and stuff, and they were getting ready for a show. And in all their shows, they do skits where they interact with the crowd. And they were in a basement rehearsing, and they felt like, hey, we need something new, something different for the show. So they were in the basement just kind of making some moves, and they wanted to do a skit about your average fun girl at the club that was being extra.
Right.
And, you know, one of them started kind of moving side to side, and, you know, another one said, what does a girl in the club do? She always has her hand up. She's either pointing at somebody or, you know, she's seeking attention.
Yeah, saying woo. And,
right. So next thing you know, the hand goes up, and the Nay Nay was invented right there. There was no name for it at the time. It was supposed to be Shenay-Nay, but the name, it just felt like it was too long and it wasn't ringing, and it got cut down to Nay Nay. And the videos, actually a viral video, one of the first videos that got posted was the first time they got like 300-400 likes on Instagram. And at that moment, they kind of knew, okay, something is going on, because they, you know, they're used to getting 30-40 likes. And,
yeah.
And that moment, it just literally, the dance spread. There was no song at the time. It was literally just
right,
the dance.
Right, the song came later after the dance went viral. Absolutely. So, Rodney, what you seem to have noticed, and this is something that our senior producer noticed as well, because we saw this video that actually, ironically, went viral from The New Yorker, in which it was supposed to be a history of viral dances in hip-hop. And all but two of those dances came out of the South, and a number of them from Atlanta. So you started looking into this, right? Why Georgia in particular would be a source for viral dances?
Yeah, I had the pleasure of... Well, when I was growing up in the late 80s and early 90s, there was a similar dance craze in Atlanta. And it was called the Yeek. And this dance, we didn't have viral videos back then, but it was socially viral. You know, the talent shows, the teen clubs, everywhere you went, people were doing the Yeek, and there were dance crews that engaged in this dance all the time.
Let's hear a little bit. The song A-Town Get Down by Countrified Swag. This is included in the upcoming Yeek documentary, and in it you hear sort of the basic instructions on how to do the Yeek. Do the app, go crazy, feel me, ladies. Cause you're crazy, baby. Now shoulder rock and glide. My shoulder rock so fine. Do the onion, y'all, to make the flavor raw. I make you squint your eyes and cry. Do the round, four, get toe, hop, oh, knee, no, crisscross to the right, stop. Okay, so one of the first things they say in there is do the ALF. I would imagine there's not a lot of young people left who know who ALF was.
Right, right. There's also the BART.
You know,
the BART was a big dance back then. I mean, the Yeek was basically a four-step count dance. But within that, you would have different crews add different signature moves and that kind of thing. So anyway, I wanted to find somebody who was a member of an original Yeek crew, and I found this guy named Carlton McDuffie, who went by the name Kool-Aid back in the day. And he was part of a crew called Obsession. And he's kind of become a historian of sorts on the Yeek movement in terms of helping to curate and throw reunions featuring a lot of the older dancers. But he really had a really good insight in terms of how this dance and this culture kind of came about. And he really likens it to kind of like Atlanta's version of b-boying and breakdancing in New York hip hop. You know, it was kind of running along the same time, and it was just as kind of broad and culturally influential in terms of lifestyle and that kind of stuff.
Randy, let me bring you into this. And how did dances go viral before the days of YouTube and social media?
Well, a lot of it had to do with just, you know, travel. Families like your cousin from maybe down south would come up north, or you would go down south or go to the West Coast. And you learn the dance from that area and then go back and, you know, you think that, oh, no, you guys don't know, you know, how to do this. This is new stuff from the other side, you know what I mean? So, and then these dances would become popular. Sometimes video, but not really. Back then it wasn't a lot of video, but we always looked for video. But mostly just traveling. You know, you go to a different hood, you go to a different within the city itself, there are different styles sometimes, or different ways, or different movements, that's popular on the north side of Philly, west where I'm from, or versus the south side of Philly.
Let me play you, Andy, a comment from Callie Marr from the group We Are Tunes. And we asked what the response was of the group after the dance went viral. So take a listen.
When we started going, like, super viral, we didn't know what to do. Like, we were like, we just got to keep making videos, see how far we can get it. It's really not even in our hands anymore. Like, it really just went out of control.
It's hard to hear what he says at the very beginning, but he says, when you started going super viral where we didn't know what to do, what was that like when suddenly you realized that a move you just, the group had just made up was being done all over the world?
Well, I think at that time, it's like when anytime something goes viral, you're playing catch up. Right. So it's very unexpected. You know, now, obviously, people plan for things to go viral, so they're a little more prepared. But with the Nene, it just nobody was prepared. I mean, you know, it was just four guys, or, you know, at that time it was like six kids in the basement having fun. You know, they ended up creating this move and they didn't know what to do. They didn't know the music business. They didn't know the business side. They didn't know really how to capitalize off of this. It started spreading like
wildfire. How to make money from a move they created.
Right. I mean, they knew, obviously, the popularity was everywhere. I mean, you know, they're waking up and their notifications and stuff is just going crazy, but they don't know what to do with it. So, you know, at that point, that's where we kind of stepped in, like, okay, let's start putting the pieces together because this is turning into something. And it was more so than just how do we brand it as a dance, but where's the music? You know, we need a song to kind of go with this.
So how do you make something like that actually marketable and have it make you money? Because we hear all the time about people not able to make any money off things that go viral on YouTube.
So for us, the reason we were able to capitalize was that's why we had to have a song come with it, right? So we came from the music side of selling records and moving music, you know, through record companies. So being the dance, it's very hard to capitalize off a dance. You could potentially be a dance group, per se, but not so much as in without music. So when we created the Nene song, that's we were able to sell it.
Okay, let's take a listen to that. Drop that Nene. Randy, what are the components to a dance that goes viral, that becomes really popular? What's sort of the common elements?
Well, I think a lot of it is coming out of community, and that's the thing that everyone sort of relates to in general when we talk about street dances. Does that look like me? You know what I mean? So I think a lot of it has to do with it coming straight from the community. The other part to it is the music. You know, the music drives it a lot of times. So, and if that music is also coming out of community, and specifically in the South, like the South has been, you know, just dominating the airwaves, so to speak. And so it makes sense that dance is going to follow that.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Rennie Harris, professor of hip-hop dance at UCLA and the University of Colorado in Boulder. Annie Tadic manages the Atlanta dance and rap group We Are Tunes. They created the dance The Nay Nay. And Rodney Carmichael is senior staff writer at Creative Loafing and co-host of the 5 Points podcast. Rodney, what did you find about viral dance when you began looking into it? What were, especially the Yeek, but moving forward into some of the other dances people know really well, the Dougie, all the others that we see people doing, what do they have in common, and why do they come from the South?
Well, I think the interesting kind of through line is Southern swag. And this is another thing that Carlton McDuffie talked about when I got to talk to him. A lot of this stuff, his father was actually a drum major at Morris Brown College, and he kind of links all of this up into a lineage where he kind of sees, you know, skate culture, which influenced the Yeek in particular a lot, and black stepping, black fraternities and sororities in college, and stepping, you know, there's stepping moves and that kind of stuff. So he kind of links all that up together, but he really sees it as a continuation of this Southern swag that comes out of black urban culture that has always sort of defined the culture down here.
So, Rennie, then how does that translate? In order for something to go viral, it has to become popular with more than just young black people, right? How does a dance transcend its origins?
Well, I mean, you know, we're talking about hip hop in the 21st century. So, you know, and most people who are buying the music or downloading, you know, a lot of them are, you know, young white kids, you know, and that's been happening since NWA. So that's an easy transition when you, in regards to the music itself, and you want to be wherever the hip music is, and that's where, you know, that's hip hop. So you have a different audience. When you go to these rap concerts, most of the rap concerts are all white. You know, so it's just a different audience, and I think that and that makes it easier, especially then when you see yourself up there doing it. You see kids who are like yourself. That makes a lot of connection to you, and say, "Oh, I can do that too." And so then it kind of goes and goes and goes. You know what I mean?
If you can do one of these popular dances, pick your favorite, the one that you do best. You can post a video at facebook.com/onsecondthoughtradio, and we might return the favor for you. It's our hashtag OST dance off. Andy, can you purposefully create a viral dance move?
Yeah, actually, you know, now we kind of figured out the formula, and, you know, me and my team, we can make something go viral. You know,
what's the formula? You're not going to share it. It's proprietary.
Costs money. No, what you figure out is like, it's like tastemakers. Uh-huh. So some of the, you know, a lot of kids got fame, you know, Vine was a big influencer for the Nay Nay. So Vine was like the big social media at that time, and a lot of kids.
Vine is the social media platform that allows you to post very short video.
Right. So in 2014, when we launched the Nay Nay, Vine was like the big push for us. A lot of kids got Vine famous off doing stuff with the Nay Nay. So for us, we were able to figure out who the tastemakers are, and you know, these kids just transition, so they go to the next popular social media app, and so forth, so forth. So, you know, when you kind of have a handful of the social tastemakers that have a great following, all you got to do is, it comes down to the content. If you give them something that's, the content is where anybody could duplicate it, you give it to them, it starts spreading. So at that point, it's just creating content. So, I mean, in all honesty, you need about 5 solid people with a decent following within that type of community
to create the video.
The rest goes viral.
Rodney, how does this feed into the conversation about cultural appropriation? Because we see artists of all colors and shades and genders doing these kind of viral dance videos. Do we consider that appropriation?
That's an interesting conversation. I think that one thing to consider is the fact that a lot of these crews that are creating these videos, a lot of times they don't really have ownership. Like, for instance, the Nay Nay crew, they were able to monetize it because they did create a song to go with it. But when you're using these platforms, a lot of times the platforms themselves are the ones that are getting rich. And the record labels are the ones that are getting rich based off of whatever song the crews are dancing to, right? They become promotional tools, sometimes without the crews even realizing how the industry is benefiting from their cultural production. So it's an interesting conversation, you know.
And but it sounds like it's still not quite settled.
Yeah, it's not. But there is definitely a money and production conversation that I think is an important piece that, you know, these crews don't always have the ability to take advantage of.
Randy, in the 30 seconds we have left, did you want to add to that on the discussion of appropriation?
Well, we're talking about appropriation. We're talking about the whole of African-American culture. So this is a continuum of what's always been done in regards to appropriating what comes out of the community of African-Americans.
Ronnie Carmichael is a senior staff writer at Creative Loafing. He's also co-host of the 5 Points podcast. You just heard Rennie Harris's voice, professor of hip-hop dance at UCLA and University of Colorado in Boulder. And Andy Taddock manages the Atlanta dance and rap group We Are Tunes. They created the popular dance, the Nene. Thank you all so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.